Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome into Morning Invest on this election day. It is Mercury retrograde. I don't know if this is a good time to have an election day. The whole world is watching. The biggest election of our lifetime happens today. The polls are already open. So coming up on today's show, we're going to be looking at the latest battleground polls. These are the final ones for election day. And there's some interesting numbers, interesting data. I love looking at these battleground polls because these are the states that matter most for tonight. These are the states that the entire future of our country hinges upon, these few states. And so we have these latest numbers. We're going to dive into those battleground polls for you this morning. We're also going to look at what President Trump will be doing after this election. We already know the groundwork has been laid. Jared Kushner, according to reporting from Business Insider, has already been laying the groundwork for the post-Trump presidency. Like, what is this going to look like? I'll tell you about that. Oh, boy. And a big setback for President Trump with these voter suppression moves that the Republicans have been trying in a number of different states. We'll tell you about all of that and more. It's our Election Day coverage. We're going to look at how the markets are going to be affected by all of this. So we have data on Wall Street this morning, different equities markets, how gold, how the oil markets will respond. All of these things are hinging in the balance today. So welcome in on this Tuesday. Hope everyone's doing well. I said, have been having some anxiety around this whole thing. Of course, so many people have. Over 70% of Americans say they are having some sort of election anxiety right now. I don't blame you. Because it's not just about, oh, who wins and this is going to be a fun time tonight, like sit around and make some popcorn. It's, will we see a stimulus? Will I be able to have my job? Is my job gone permanently? Will our school go back into a lockdown? Will our community be able to handle the coronavirus response because of the federal government able to step in with and provide some money or not? Or will this firefighter be laid off? Will these local unemployment office workers be laid off because there's no money for them? All of these things matter, and it all comes down to tonight. So there's already extensive lines around the country at polling places that are open in Wisconsin, in Florida, in Pennsylvania. Checking in at different polling places this morning, and there's lines out the door already. But folks, think about this. Already 100 million Americans have voted. As of this morning, 100 million Americans have already voted, even before the polls opened this morning. That is amazing. That is about 76% of everyone who voted in 2016. That means we only need like 24% more people to vote today, and then we just kind of equal out 2016. Do you think that that's going to happen? Or do you think millions will vote today, and we could have the greatest turnout in our election since 1908? Remember that year? It was a good year. We've got a lot to talk about on the show today. So let's check in with the chat room. Everyone doing okay over there? We had some technical issues earlier, but it is Mercury retrograde. So thank you, everyone, who has been watching early this morning with us as we had to get a lot of things set up and changed. Good to see everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. Highbrow's going to the polls today, Vince Scott. So Highbrow, you waited to go to the polls until today. So many people waited to go to today. By the way, the number one of these, I couldn't believe this morning. We put this in the newsletter. One of the most searched for things in the world right now is the term, how can I register to vote? Yes, that is one of the top trending Google searches. Producer Dave, are you surprised by that at all? I mean, people literally on election day are Googling, there's an election. Maybe I should register to vote. I mean, it's like the same kind of people that I think wait, like on Thanksgiving. How do I cook a turkey is one of the top searches. And like, I just waited till today to figure that out.
Well, and
it's Thanksgiving. I've got the whole family coming over.
You post stuff on social media or send down emails. Like when we have things that are changing with our system, we'll send down emails and tell people like all the time over and over. And then the last day, they're like, oh, I never, like people wait till the last minute on everything, it seems these days.
Yeah. Especially, I'm going to register to vote. Well, the good news is if you go to vote.org today, you can register to vote in many, many states. So in today's newsletter, if you signed up for today's newsletter, just go to morninginvest.com. That's how you subscribe to our daily newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. We had a list of the different polling places, the different states that are allowing same-day registration. So good news, if you are one of those people that waited to the last minute to register to vote, you can still walk in and register today and then go vote. So do that. And by the way, you get the little voter sticker. You know, I voted. And so many places are giving you free stuff today. Like McDonald's is giving you free food. So if you got the I vote sticker because you went and voted, then wear it around town with a mask on. And frankly, you can go get a bunch of free stuff. Go to Dunkin' Donuts, get a free coffee. Then drive over to McDonald's, get a free pastry. They're all giving away free stuff today. Go to Kroger, get some free groceries. I don't know. We got a list of it, though. So let's get to the latest polls this morning, shall we? Because, boy, do we have some interesting battleground numbers to get to this morning. And these are the final polls. I'm surprised by this one particularly because this one shows Florida in red. This is one of the UVA Center for Politics poll. And this is their crystal ball poll, which is the final one. I was most struck by this because it shows Georgia blue. Could Georgia finally become a blue state? And Florida now leaning red in this last battleground poll, Center for Politics, the UVA. Interesting. So if that happens tonight, you know, I've been saying if we get Florida, if Florida ends up going early one way or the other, if it goes early for Biden, if Florida goes early for Biden, then of course it's going to be a quick night. And I think that's where James Carville is predicting by 10 p.m. we will know who wins this thing. But if Florida goes red, then we are in for a long night. We are in for a long night. And that's what this poll is showing. Florida red, Texas red, Georgia blue, North Carolina blue, Pennsylvania blue. It's a very difficult, I mean, it would be very difficult here for President Trump to win given any of these numbers. Overwhelming 321 electoral votes. You need, of course, 270 to win. So whoever gets there would seal that deal. Here's another one, though. 8 p.m., folks. This is where all things, I think, center around 8 p.m. tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern time. This is when these polls close. Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, Delaware, D.C., Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maine, New Hampshire, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Michigan, Kansas, Oklahoma, etc. 8 p.m., we could know who the president is very soon thereafter tonight, after 8 p.m. Let's take a look at some of these other polls this morning. Some of the data, the U.S., of course, just surpassed 100 million votes. That's already 73-74% of the 137 million that voted. Now, this poll was the most accurate poll during 2016. It was the USC Dorn's Life poll. Do you remember that poll? No, you don't. Neither do I. Now, this was the most accurate one from 2016. Former Vice President Biden leads Trump by double digits nationally in this poll. That was the most accurate poll in 2016. 54% to 43% Biden to Trump. And it's frankly, it's been unchanged since the summer. Trump's favorite pollster, Scott Rasmussen of the Rasmussen Reports. Trump loves to talk about how Rasmussen was one of the only ones that really got it right last time. He also has double-digit margins for president or for Vice President Biden. And that's consistent with a lot of the other major polls out this morning. The final NBC Wall Street Journal poll of the campaign, for example, shows Biden leading 52 to 42%. That's a Wall Street Journal poll, NBC News poll, 52 to 42, a 10-point lead for Biden. And that's identical to what they found in January. So a lot of these polls have held fairly steady. Now, there was a question, okay, will there be a last-minute break? All of these pollsters are looking for these last-minute, you know, Hillary Clinton email scandal break. Is this going to go one way or the other? So all of these battleground pollsters have been analyzing this over the past 24 hours. And here's the bottom line. There are no late breaks. There are no late breaks, Hillary Clinton email scandal style. Not here. There's no late breaks in any of these polls. That's not good news for Trump. I think President Trump had been hitting on that Hunter Biden story as much as he could. But then he heard from Frank Luntz, a GOP pollster, and Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee, all telling him, hey, this is a loser. Don't waste your time. You have 1 week to try to move the numbers and you're going to waste it on Hunter Biden? Didn't work. And we now see it in these numbers. So here's the deal. In these battleground states, they've remained unchanged in recent days. And according to this new NBC Wall Street Journal poll, that there was little movement at all. There was a slight little tiny shift towards President Trump, but nothing like we saw 4 years ago. The poll conducted on Sunday in 12 states finds Biden leading 51 to 46%, these battleground polls. 51 to 46. That is outside of that Hillary Clinton margin. So you'd have to be really bad at your polls. Like, you'd have to be a really bad pollster to screw it up by that much. We talk about the margin of error being usually 1 or 2%. If you're 5 points screwed up, then you should be out of business. Right? That'd be like going into McDonald's and you order the number 4, right, which I think is a quarter pounder with cheese meal, and you leave with a filet of fish meal and a McFlurry. Like, you didn't even get close. You should be fired. I do like a filet of fish.
It scares me that you know that number.
There's a lot of McDonald's that I've eaten in my life. Plus, I also worked at McDonald's. That was my first job. I was on the grill. I worked the grill behind the scenes. So all that magic that you were tasting came from me.
You ever see the movie The Founder?
No, what is that?
The Founder with Michael Keaton?
Is it Ray Kroc?
No, yeah, it is. If you work there, you need to watch that.
I have not.
That's an amazing movie.
I will check that out. Maybe I'll watch that tonight because nothing else is happening tonight. Yeah, so that's how bad you'd have to be as a pollster to be this far off. You should be out of business. Right now, 12 states in which the election is most competitive, Biden is leading 51 to 46%, unchanged from late last week. Again, this poll, though, stood out to me as most interesting. Florida, at 29 electoral votes, is leaning red in this final battleground poll, and Texas goes red for Trump. South Carolina, Georgia goes blue. Arizona goes blue. Wisconsin, blue. Michigan, blue. Pennsylvania, blue. I think this poll, it was one of the more interesting ones that we saw last night. Well, they're also getting in their final messages. So now that we have their final polls, we have their final messages. The presidential candidates made their case yesterday, going to Michigan, Pennsylvania, where they tried to close this thing out. And it was really certainly a tale of two campaigns. President Trump spent an inordinate amount of time yesterday talking about voter suppression, in his own words, basically telling people to, you know, that we shouldn't be counting these votes. He was upset about a number of different decisions from the courts, in Texas specifically, in Harris County, where the federal judge said, no, you have no argument for getting rid of 127,000 ballots that were cast by people that drove up in their cars to these polling places, these drive-through polling. You tried to argue, the GOP tried to argue, that these were polling places, that the car became a polling place. The judge said, that's garbage. They were pulling into a tent, and they were met by a poll worker. They would fill out their ballot, cast it in private in their own private car tent because of COVID. The federal judge upheld the state Supreme Court in Texas. Nada. The same thing is true in Pennsylvania, where the Republicans had tried unsuccessfully to basically say, hey, if your ballot arrives late, these mail-in ballots and absentee ballots from overseas, hey, military members that send in your ballots, and if there's a delay in the mail, and it's even though it's postmarked ahead of time, you shouldn't count those. You had that little weasel from the Trump campaign come on TV. What's his name? Jason Miller. Basically saying that, you know, we shouldn't be counting these votes. That we have a duty. Like, if these votes had come in late, that we just shouldn't count all these votes. We shouldn't count them all. That's somehow unconstitutional to count all these votes. Okay. So President Trump yesterday just spent an inordinate amount of time in Michigan at his final rallies talking about all of this stuff, all of this ridiculous stuff, wasting his time. This is his final closing message. He was in many ways acknowledging that he's going to lose. He mentioned that a few times. He's like, how could I lose? How am I going to lose? Look at all you people. This is great. How am I going to lose? How could a loser have this type of a crowd? It's one of his arguments. Here he is, though, spending a lot of time talking about the suburbs. This was one of his closing arguments, is that he wants those suburban women to vote for him because he has kept poor people, he's kept black and brown people out of your neighborhoods. Hey, suburban white women, do you love me? Do you love me? That's what he's saying. Come on, suburban white women. I've protected your suburbs. So here he is yesterday with one of his closing arguments. I'm keeping the poor people out of your neighborhood.
Please destroy the suburbs. Women of the suburbs, please. Okay. Please.
I love that they hand out signs too when they go into these events. Like, here, are you a woman? Here, take one of these pink women signs with you. Okay. We need to get this behind him on camera. We need women. We need them.
Wiped out a regulation that would have destroyed your home, to put it mildly. Would have destroyed your American dream.
Yeah. Because when black and brown people move into your American dream, guess what happens? Would have been awful, wouldn't it?
And Ben Carson is a great guy. I said, sir, why don't we just do this? Why don't we just sort of ease it up? It's a horrible regulation. What it does is a horrible thing, and everybody knows it. It would have destroyed the suburbs. I said, Ben, let's just cut it out. Let's terminate it, because there's no negotiating here. Let's just terminate it. And I terminated it. And you know, one thing I know about the women of the suburbs, they want two things. They want their home, they want their family life, but they want safety and they want security. And that's what we provide. And I think this will be like 4 years ago. Remember, Donald Trump will do very poorly with women at the end of the evening when they're all crying. You know, remember they were crying? Remember? Martha Raddatz, oh, she's very impartial. She was another one of my debate anchors. I had some real beauties, didn't I? She was crying, and they all said, we're going to do badly with women. I'm going to do terribly with women. I said, why? What's so bad? Tell me what's so bad. And at the end of the evening, he's done very well with women. What happened? No, but this time we're going to do even better, because we are providing safety and security, and for the suburban women, I mean, we're saving the suburbs. This regulation was.
Yeah, we're just going to keep all, you know, we do not want poor people moving into your suburban dream. Yeah, we're going to keep them out. So I did that. I want you to remember that. So I spent so much time talking about it. I need women to come vote for me. Please come vote for me. I'm giving you safety. You feel safe right now? feel secure. He also went to task against LeBron James, Lady Gaga. Of course, LeBron James throwing his support behind Biden. I just want you to think about, this isn't like a rally in February. This is the last rally. This is it, folks. No more. And you're going to spend the time talking about the NBA and Lady Gaga? This was his message last night.
How about basketball? How about LeBron? I felt badly for LeBron. I felt very badly. Down 71%. And that's for the champion. I didn't watch one shot. I get bored. Back, forth. You know why? When they don't respect our country, when they don't respect our flag, nobody wants to watch. Nobody. And the NFL is way down. You got to stand for our flag. You got to really be great to our flag and to our anthem.
Yeah, you got to hug it like I do. Remember that? One of the most cringeworthy moments. He goes up and he just gives the flag a big hug. You got to hug the flag.
And if you don't do that, we're not watching. What a crowd.
Yeah, this is my final message. LeBron James sucks. That's the chant. What a crowd. This is amazing. Way to bring America together.
Hey, I have three more of these to do. Do you want me to stay with you all day? Yes.
He's saving his best material, right? I've got three more of these to do. So I'm going to fly into Michigan and I'm going to start talking about LeBron James again. I'm going to tell women there. And then I'm also going to talk about Lady Gaga. Really got it nailed down. Got three more of these to do. I'm going to stay with you all day because you love me. That wasn't it. He went after Lady Gaga as well.
Now he's got Lady Gaga. It's not too weird. I can tell you plenty of stories. I can tell you stories about Lady Gaga. I know a lot of stories. Lady Gaga.
Well, because, you know, Lady Gaga was performing at Biden's event in Philadelphia, his final rally in Philadelphia. I have to tell you, though, when you look at the tail, I mean, I'm just being objective here, because you know I go after both sides on this. The same type of enthusiasm. I was in Butler, Pennsylvania, covering the election in 2016. And the enthusiasm there for President Trump at the time, or then candidate Trump, was, I didn't see anything for Hillary. It was like a ghost town for Hillary Clinton. I have to say, seeing a bunch of these rallies and his final one in Grand Rapids, I mean, just the enthusiasm and the size of the crowd, everyone there, you know, with their signs and all huddled together closely. The enthusiasm, I mean, it's like the tale of two videos right now, watching that versus a Biden rally. I mean, it's not even on the same level, the enthusiasm. But he had Lady Gaga there last night, did Vice President Biden along with John Legend. Kamala Harris came out and spoke, then Vice President Biden spoke in Philadelphia. And again, these were, to me, it was like watching two different worlds. And the amount of enthusiasm they have for Trump is off the charts. And I just don't think that there's that enthusiasm for Vice President Biden. I really don't. But people are, you know, huddling around this idea that he's going to save us, that Biden is going to be the savior. Get rid of this guy in the White House and become our savior. So, of course, Donald Trump forgot, of course, that he's making fun of Lady Gaga. Of course, just a short time ago, he went to see her in concert. I saw Lady Gaga last night, and she was fantastic.
Now he's got Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. Not too good.
She's not too good, he said.
I can tell you plenty of stories. I can tell you stories about Lady Gaga. I know a lot of stories.
I know. I got a lot of stories. Yeah. Can you tell us some of those stories? And then can you follow them up with some bedtime stories? Tell us about the Jeffrey Epstein stories you also know. Tell us those stories. Can you tuck me in? I want to hear your Lady Gaga story.
I don't wear a toupee.
Oh, I wanted to show you some of this if I can bring it in here, but it was too large of a file and I couldn't get it, but I will try to get this in here. Last night's event, the Joe Biden event in Philadelphia. I was a little behind today and couldn't get this thing in here, but nevertheless, Philadelphia, that was the scene, freezing in Philadelphia, Joe Biden making his closing argument. He was talking about, you know, inclusivity. He was talking about bringing the country together. He was talking about Donald Trump's failures on COVID. And you can just tell they're all tired. They're just exhausted at this point. Frozen mouths in these battleground states. It is telling, though. I can't help but wonder why President Trump hasn't been spending more time in Florida. Do they feel like they've got this locked up at this point? Do they feel like Florida is in the can, in the bag? And that's why they're not spending the time there. Is Ron DeSantis lying to President Trump, governor of Florida? Is he telling him things he wants to hear? You know, we got this for you, Mr. President. Spend your time in Michigan. Spend your time in Pennsylvania. We got this. We're going to turn out the vote. We're going to do what we can down here. We got it for you. Don't worry about it. I don't know. Again, James Carville seems to believe that come tonight at 10 p.m., we will know who the president of the United States is. And to me, that means Pennsylvania and Florida. We will know those very early. Again, by 8 p.m., these polls close and they start tallying them. Pennsylvania, Florida, Alabama, Texas, Michigan. We will probably, if James Carville is right, know who's president of the United States by that time. And if we don't, then it could stretch on for days and we could have court battle after court battle and it could be an absolute nightmare. He called into Fox and Friends, President Trump did this morning, his favorite morning show. And when he was asked whether or not he would, is he going to fight this? Is he going to not declare victory or concede, et cetera? He said, look, I'm going to wait and I'm not going to play games and I will announce that I'm the winner if I'm the winner. I'm not going to play games. So that's reassuring. So he's not going to just come out and prematurely announce that he's the winner when he doesn't know that he's the winner. Okay. That's encouraging. Good news there. So what do you guys think about these battleground polls in the chat? Any good questions coming in?
We had a couple.
Don't forget you can subscribe. Oh, yeah, he has a couple super chats. Don't forget you can subscribe to the channel. Please subscribe. We're going to have full election results tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Become a channel member as well by going to morninginvest.com/join. A couple super chats here. You can go throw those up on there if you want to.
So Essential Hard Worker asked, you made me realize yesterday how much more important the Senate race is than the presidential race. The Democrats need to take the Senate to get a huge stimulus package in January.
Exactly. We're going to talk about more of that here in a moment as we talk about the markets and the effect on Wall Street and unemployment across this country and all of that. So I wanted to give you the latest polls, but yeah, I mean, you're going to learn here in a second just how important that Senate race is, these Senate seats right now that are up. I mean, if you're looking at some of these states that are trending in a certain direction, look, if you've got South Carolina trending red significantly, that's trouble for Lindsey Graham's, re-election. I mean, that's good news for Lindsey Graham running for re-election. Look at Maine, though. Susan Collins, that's trending blue. Could this be a blue wave? And if Susan Collins, so here's the thing. If we don't have a clear winner on election night for among the Senate with these toss-up states right now in the Senate, then it's going to be, we could be in for a long 2 years. Because if the Senate remains red, and the presidency becomes blue, then we don't have any kind of a supermajority, and very little could get accomplished, namely a stimulus package. Republicans do not want a stimulus package. And do you think for a second Republicans are now going to want to pass some sort of a stimulus package after they've won? They've already given $5 trillion to their big buddies, their big corporations and their big bailouts. Do you think they're now going to want to work with a President Biden? No way. Unless things get so catastrophic. That's the only way. Unless it gets so bad that we have no choice. But right now, they're fine. Got some other super chats, right?
Yeah. So we got Anita Dries is saying Truman won on only 40% in the polls. History repeating itself, maybe?
Possibly. Of course, those are the three words that I think Biden is scared. You know, Dewey defeats Truman, right? Famously, Harry Truman holding up the newspaper that showed Dewey defeats Truman. Of course, he didn't. He ended up winning. But that's the real fear here. That's what Biden, I think, fears the most. That's what we look, you know, the question, too, when we think about this, get out of Pence. That Pence fly is back right now. Get out of here, Pence fly. Is the electoral, you know, the idea that we have an electoral college and that, again, President Trump could lose the popular vote significantly and then still win the presidency with the electoral college. It just goes to show you, I mean, how we need to fix the electoral college. Both sides of the aisle agree that it is a disaster. Obviously, the idea is that it's put in place to protect us against some sort of king, right? That at least there would be smart people in the electoral college that if the overwhelming majority of people wanted somebody as president and that person was crazy, like a Hitler, that we at least have an electoral college that could step in and vote and say no. Like, they have to cast the vote. They're casting their own vote as the electoral college based on how they're supposed to represent in their districts. That's the whole idea of the electoral college, is that the founding fathers didn't really trust us. Let's be honest. That's the point. Founding fathers didn't really have faith in the people to pick their leader. So if we went by the popular vote, Hillary Clinton would be president right now. What, she had was it 2.5 to 3 million more people voted for her than Trump? And yet he won. Bush too. George W. Bush. So we need an overhaul of this electoral college system. Make no mistake about it.
Christine LaBeach.
Got more to get to.
Says Alan Lichtman is predicting a Biden win. He's a history professor and has predicted every presidential election since 1984 and has never been wrong.
Look, I think we're all sort of hedging. I saw a tweet this morning, made me laugh, made my wife and I laugh, which is, you know, me on election day. And I'm not a Biden supporter by any chance. I just want you to understand that, right? I'm not a Trump supporter by a landslide. But waking up on election day, finding out that Biden has won, but you're still like, is that really true? Then he gets sworn in January. Like, is this really true? And not until does he pardon a turkey but on Thanksgiving of that same year, you're kind of like, I know he's pardoning this turkey. He lives in the White House, but is this really happening? Is he really president? That's how a lot of people feel right now. Like, even if we have a clear win tonight, is this really going to happen? Is he really going to be sworn in on January 20th? Is that really going to happen?
Who knows if it'll even be done counting by then.
I know exactly. But we don't even know, because by December they have to validate the votes. The Electoral College won't officially put their stamp on it until December. I mean, you could have some crazy Electoral College people that sway, you know, if it's close call. I mean, we've always heard these crazy stories about what these, and this would be the year that would happen.
Well, and even like the Bush Gore, when they had to take it to the Supreme Court and everything. I mean, who knows, like, if it's going to go that far.
Right. And it might. And then now we have a 6-3 Supreme Court with the selection of Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, of course. So, look, we saw what happened in Florida before. I hope we don't have a repeat of that. I hope we don't have a repeat of Katherine Harris down there and the dirty politics that happened in the state of Florida. Disgusting. On both sides, by the way. I mean, there was some real nastiness on both sides. In Bush v. Gore down in Florida. All right, we've got more to get to here on the show. Let's talk about these markets and how the election will affect Wall Street, your paycheck, and the future of our economy in the next few months. So it's interesting as we go through, I want to go through a number of different data points here that I think are important, because after all, we are a business show. We are a progressive business show. So we're covering the stories that I think matter to you, not necessarily Wall Street, because really don't give a rat's behind about Wall Street. I care more about the money in your pocket and your family's future. That's what this show is about. So if you look right now, there's already a rally. in the works based on this election. We're already seeing, like, Wall Street seems to believe Biden is going to win. They've already put all their eggs in that basket. They've already put all their money in that basket, by the way, with $1 million of donations going to the Biden camp. The U.S. equity index futures are continuing their strong start already this week. And they already had a huge sell-off last week, but it climbed another 1.4% overnight. So these are overnight numbers right now. Anything other than a contested election, a decisive victory in particular, would be good news for the stock market because they hate uncertainty. So if you've got money in a 401k, you have money in the stock market, you know, look, if there's uncertainty with the election, that's when we have sell-offs, that's when we have declines. So if we have a clear win, then the stock market will calibrate itself and they'll be fine. Let's talk about energy and infrastructure. These are some key areas that I'm interested in. I think Joe Biden dropped the ball big time in his ability to try to push for some sort of a broad green New Deal, talk about getting rid of fracking, and just have a backbone about it. You know, when you're in upstate Pennsylvania and you're in these fields, these fracking fields where people's water is filled with methane, they were former Trump supporters, by the way. And they are absolutely at their wit's end with the amount of fracking and the chemicals that are pouring into their groundwater and showing up in their land and in their drinking water. Have a backbone about it. Biden missed a total opportunity to do that. He looked like a flopping fish during the debates. So earlier in the year, you were going to ban fracking. Yes, you said now on federal land, we get it. But now during the debate, I am not going to ban fracking because he knows he needs Pennsylvania. So talk about, you know, being like a weather vane, just kind of going where the wind takes you. So what will happen with energy? Joe Biden, of course, has promised. We don't know that this will happen. And of course, they'll need Democrat or Republican support if we have a very tight Senate coming up here, no supermajority. He wants to invest $2 trillion in clean energy infrastructure. Okay, what does that look like? He says we would have a boost to renewables and those sustainable stocks, which is good news. So if you I'm not a Wall Street person, but if you want to invest in certain companies that are also good for the environment, that are investing in renewable energies, sustainables, then this is an opportunity, hopefully, to see a boon for these types of companies that are doing great work. I'm talking geothermal, wind, solar, you know, where we can become energy independent. We don't need to rely on getting our solar panels brought in from China. We can build them here, and the jobs pay about 70% higher than they do currently, those oil jobs. If you have renewable energy jobs, we would employ millions more people than we currently have. So it's a huge opportunity for us to employ more and to pay higher wages and also support infrastructure that's important for the future of our country. So he has also said that he wanted a vehicle charging network rolled out across the country. So, you know, electric cars could plug in all over the place. President Trump said during the first presidential debate that he was all in when it comes to electric cars. So are we going to see under either Biden or Trump an expansion of electric car networks across the country? Trump, during his first administration, became the world's largest energy producer, but a lot of that infrastructure, of course, had gone to fracking and other types of, getting natural gas out of the ground and oil production so that we are not relying on foreign fossil fuels, which is not where we need to be in this country. Now we just start producing all the fossil fuels. No, we need to move towards renewables and sustainables. President Trump has also said that he wanted to rebuild highways, bridges, and water systems, but he never did anything with that infrastructure plan. So now, if Trump wins, will we see an actual infrastructure plan? He's been saying it. There's appetite on both sides. He could have gotten bipartisan support for this back a year ago, 2 years ago. Democrats were on board. Nancy Pelosi was on board. Why hadn't they moved on it? Build, you know, get people employed, building bridges, building roads, waterways. They're a mess. They're crumbling. You can literally go to South Street in Philadelphia, my home city, and you can stand under the South Street Bridge, and it's just like chunks falling down. And you know how many, millions of cars travel across those roads every year in Philadelphia, and they're just crumbling. And we've seen bridges collapsing across the United States. This is America, and yet we can spend $900 billion a year on bombing other countries. But we can't fix our bridges. banks. So expect this. Here's where, this is where, of course, you know, both sides are going to be fine with this. Expect big bank capital requirements to tighten if Biden wins. But don't expect a big departure, of course, from the current, the way things currently are. Jarrett Selberg of Cowen Washington Research Group says that we will not see major shifts in the banking sector if President, if Biden wins. Of course not. They've received millions of dollars. Biden has received millions of dollars from the big banks and Wall Street. They love him. You think things are going to really change? No, it's not going to change that much. A second term for Trump, though, could result in added tailwinds from a continued light touch on regulation, he writes, and a push to reduce taxes. So they can get a little bit of this. If he's going to reduce the payroll tax again, maybe some movement there, but not much. To me, though, the real question of the banks has nothing to do with who's elected. It's what's going to happen to all of these foreclosures that are going to unfold over the next few months because of a lack of stimulus. That's the real question. And in the insurance market. So what happens? I mean, we've seen, now we see this new Hurricane Eta flowing up here, and the insurance industry is just being slammed. Then, of course, you're seeing the housing sector. You're seeing all of these big banks who are now having to take on all of these properties. They don't want to own properties through foreclosures. It's costly, timely, and they don't want to be landlords. The banks learned their lesson in 2008. They do not want to own property. And that's what's going to happen. Regardless of who's president, we are headed for a housing disaster unless some stimulus is given almost immediately to stave off these foreclosures and evictions. Let's talk about defense. What's going to happen in the defense area? Of course, billions of dollars. We talk about the contracts like Boeing and Northrop Grumman and all of these big companies that get billions of dollars from the federal government. Will anything change there? There's a lot of people that think, oh, if Democrats win, there'll be less spending on defense. I don't know where, who, I don't know what show you're watching. That's not going to happen. Vice President Biden has already voted to expand the size of the military, our footprint in the Middle East, wanting to expand the military spending upwards of 20%, which is what Trump just did. Biden has no interest in pulling back on that either. Nobody is going to pull back on defense spending. Washington is run by defense contractors. And by the way, Washington then and the television networks are run by these guys too, because they get hired as CNN analysts and MSNBC analysts, and all these guys go to these networks. Former CIA guy, former defense, you know, whatever, is now a spokesperson on CNN. That's how this military-industrial complex keeps going. Nothing's going to change here. Nothing is going to change. Trade. A Biden administration is predicted to ratchet down tensions with China, U.S. and China relations, through their trade war. It could have negative consequences on the dollar. So if you're invested heavily in the dollar, look out for that. We could see more imports from overseas, so we could see more of that coming into the United States. Right now, we've got this big IP and intellectual property dispute, of course, with China. So we could see technology transfers and a better way to best ways to confront China on IP and technology transfers is trying to form a coalition with Japan and other countries to try to tamp some of this down. And Biden also wants to juice U.S. manufacturing, directing $400 billion of federal government purchases to domestic firms. So like pandemic supplies, like why are we getting our masks from China during a pandemic? Like, can't we do that here? Of course, President Trump, for his part, sees the signing of the trade deal, the phase one with the China agreement, as one of the major achievements of his presidency. But tensions continue to mount between our two countries, and that is a big problem. Healthcare, and we'll get you out of here on big tech. So healthcare and pharma, healthcare spending right now is 17% of the U.S. economy and far more than any other industrialized country. Biden wants to expand the Affordable Care Act, but many people believe it'll just be subsidies for the insurance companies. So they're going to spend more, but basically being giving big bailouts to insurance companies is kind of how this will work. By spending $2 trillion over 10 years. Trump wants to end it altogether and then replace it with something better, which we still don't know what that plan looks like from President Trump. Both political parties have sounded off against these high prescription drug prices. Will anybody do anything about these high prescription drug prices? Probably not. Big pharma, big health, big defense, and big tech, all pour money into these campaigns, so any chances of these things changing much is probably not going to happen. Finally, big tech. Both parties are going to continue to push for regulatory pressure on these tech companies. And these antitrust investigations against Google and Facebook and so forth, and these breakup threats could be a real issue under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. They could repeal that, and that would be a huge issue. Revoking that rule would create legal headaches for social media platforms who rely on heavily user-generated content, basically saying, hey, you know, when do you choose to become a publisher? Like when you're Twitter and you decide to start censoring people, like, do you become a publisher? That's the question, right? Like you hear the argument all the time. You cannot sue a bookstore because you bought an inflammatory book in that bookstore. No, you would sue the publisher of that book if there was something defamatory in that book, right? You don't sue the Little Johnny's bookstore. And so this is the great debate right now around tech. And that's also why I think it's interesting to see Apple about to roll out what could be their very first search engine. Because right now, if you have any iOS device, one of the default browsers you have the opportunity to put on your phone is Google, right? Searching with Google. Well, Apple has, there are reports that Apple is working on their very own search engine to rival Google and Bing and Yahoo. Does Yahoo still have a search engine?
Yes.
Or no? They do? Does anyone use Yahoo for a search?
I use Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. I use, what's the other one? The one I use is Ask Jeeves. what's the one that I use? I have mine set to, not Google. It's the private one. The
DuckDuckGo or whatever.
Where they don't collect your data. DuckDuckGo is the one I use. Yeah. So they don't collect your data and all that stuff.
I will say this about Apple, though. So, like, when Apple took on Google for Google Maps and stuff, Apple doesn't really get into that game until they've kind of almost perfected. I like Apple Maps way better than Google Maps. So, but the only thing is, like, who's going to put Apple search? Like, you're going to have to go out of your way to go do a search on Apple. That's where, like, the disconnect would, I think, come in, because we're so programmed to go use Google.
Yeah, but if you've got your, I agree with you, but on your mobile device, like, if you open Safari and it'll be interesting to see if they make it as a default, like the default search engine when you buy an iPhone is Apple, like Apple search.
I assume they will, but who uses Safari on an iPhone? Don't say it, Clayton.
Safari on an iPhone?
Do you use Safari?
I use Safari on my iPhone like 40 times a day. What do you use?
I use Chrome.
Really? You use Chrome? You download Chrome and you wow.
Yeah, it's no, I find it much.
I've never been an iOS Chrome user. I use Chrome all the time on my Mac.
I can switch right back from my iPhone and then get on my Mac, and I can open up the same window that I have open on my phone. So I just kind of like that.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, I've just always been a default iOS Safari user. But
so your ringtone is the did-it-it-it-it-it-it-it-it-it. You still got that? Or do you customize your ringtone at least?
I'm not that bad. No, they're just things like Chrome to me. Well, first of all, Chrome on the Mac is like, you know, sucks down CPU like it's, you know, like a beast. And so you can watch your battery literally drop like in seconds, but starting to use Chrome. That's why I'm a Safari user. I just like it's cleaner to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something
there are things
Chrome
I like about
like
it.
Heavy and but no, I haven't really used it on my iPhone. Maybe I'll check it out. But no, I customize a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of defaults and widgets set up and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not like my 86-year-old dad. When he gets a new iPhone, he's like, "Oh, these are all the apps I'm going to use right here on the home screen when I bought the phone." Ooh, weather. Dink. So let me know your thoughts on this. How do you think the markets will change as a result of a Biden presidency or a Trump continued presidency? Let me know in the chat below. And let me go ahead and subscribe to the channel, by the way. If you're not already a subscriber, go ahead and smash that subscribe button. And also hit that like button, too. Let's everyone know that you enjoy watching our show.
I don't wear a toupee. Come on, man.
Corey Jernigan says, I hate myself for loving you as the ringtone. Oh, so for my wife, when she calls, my ringtone is "Who Can It Be Now?" That's my ringtone.
Who can it be now?
Be now. My one friend, I had a program, so when he would text me, it was the Chewbacca roar. When my kids text me, I have it set to an R2-D2.
Yep, that's what I have. So when they text me.
Yeah, so I have a couple of those different ones. Yeah.
So Clayton.
Jennifer Baldwin says,
Go ahead. Go ahead with that one.
I was going to say, Jennifer Baldwin says, can you go over where we send our Morris merch picks again? The email address provided didn't work for me. Oh, yeah, it's team@morninginvest.com. So if you've bought one of our mugs, bought one of our Grover mugs or anything, you bought one of our masks or you have one of our new sweatshirts with our logo, take a picture of yourself or have someone take a picture of you so we can see your pretty face, and then send in a picture of yourself to team@morninginvest.com. And then we will feature it right here on the show. So, and then we will pull those pictures and feature them with your smiling face right here on the show. Yes, people are asking about Howie Hawkins, who was a Green Party candidate. We had him here on the show. If you're interested in voting for Howie Hawkins, you need to write in his name if his name is not on the ballot. So you have to do it as a write-in. You put Howie Hawkins and then his running mate, Angela Walker. And you have to write it in. So, like, that's the case in Pennsylvania. Democrats managed to keep them off the ballot in Pennsylvania. And I think it might be the case in Nebraska as well.
So somebody...
Andrew Frensay says, I did... Picture might have been censored. Was that you, Dave? Yes, Dave does all the censoring. If you send us a nude photo...
Yeah, if you Dave send in a nude photo, at least do it from the waist down so we can cut that part out.
Right.
So DS is asking, should I sell my house while it still has equity or hang on to it and risk it becoming worthless?
Is that a question or a statement, DS? Because a couple of things. If you've got equity in your house, you cannot eat equity. Okay. So if you have equity in your house, you're sitting on that, not doing anything with it. Remember, when you live in a house that you pay for, right? You bought a house that you live in. That is not a performing asset. That is a liability. It's taking money out of your pocket every month in the form of property taxes. You got to fix stuff up at the Home Depot, et cetera. You're paying for that. There's no cash flow coming in. Remember, a liability or a performing asset is something that puts cash in your pocket every day or every month. The house you live in, unless you're like living in a duplex where you're renting out the other side of the duplex and paying for your mortgage or whatever, that is not a performing asset. So the one way to turn that liability or the house you live in into a bit of a performing asset is to pull out that equity through a home equity line of credit, take that money and go invest it and buy real estate, buy a cash flowing rental property. So that's where I've bought so many rental properties using that method, using where I lived at the time. Now I rent where I live. Like, I don't own this house. I rent where I live and I let the cash flow from my rental properties provide me with the way that I live. So that's the way I would look at this. But if you want to sell your house because you're thinking of moving and you need to move or you'd like to move, yes, now would probably be one of the best times in history. There's bidding wars breaking out like you wouldn't believe. Houses are selling in days. Plus interest rates are so stinking low. So yes, take advantage of these interest rates. Take advantage of this hot market because, you know, April is typically the best time to sell a house. But who knows what April's going to happen? What's going to happen in 2021 in April? Remember what happened last April? So I would, you know, take advantage of strike while the iron is hot.
All right. Another good question here, Clayton. Let's get your take on the 2021 economy. What's your take? Where do you think things are going to go?
Well, ask me tomorrow. No, in all seriousness, I think if Biden wins and the Senate remains Republican, then we are in for a logjam. If Biden wins, that's where we would likely see a large stimulus package as a result of it. We would like to see a multi-trillion dollar stimulus package. If the Senate also goes blue, if there's a blue wave then they're going to be able to cram through so many, you know, renewable energy contracts, and there's going to be so many liberal programs that are going to get so much money. All of these liberal friends on Wall Street are going to get so much money. Yes, we'll see stimulus checks. This is going to be an opportunity. If Biden wins and there's a blue wave through Congress, I think you're going to see spending like we've never seen it before. And I just don't know how sustainable this is going to be. I mean, we keep hearing from the Federal Reserve that, hey, we can keep borrowing because interest rates are so low. We're good. We can keep borrowing. No worry about the debt. Don't worry about the debt. How is it sustainable to be at $20 trillion in debt? So I think, look, when you look at Wall Street, they're going to be fine. Wall Street is going to tip up. But I think in the next few months, you're going to see a collapse in Wall Street in the stock market because all of these stocks are overinflated. 70% increases in their value. That's like artificially inflated. Look at the smart people like Warren Buffett, who've sold stock like crazy and are buying real estate, gold and silver and precious metals. You can't control the macro economy. What all you can do is be smart and control your own economy. So investing in real estate, buying precious metals as a hedge against inflation, you know, by having real estate as an investment and putting cash flow in your pocket every month, starting a business. That way you alter your tax bracket by owning your own company. Start an LLC, start an online business where you are now not a W-2 employee in the highest tax bracket by getting a paycheck and not having your family's future tied to a 401k that's subject to this crazy volatile stock market. So you can't control what's going to happen macroeconomically, right? You can control what happens in your own house and being intelligent with your own finances. And that's how we need financial intelligence in this country. We need financial education in this country. That's what I try to do on the show. So Biden or Trump, it doesn't really matter. You need to take control of your own finances. I have a free boot camp. It's a 90-day. It's totally free. It's a download. It's about 30 pages or so. But we take you through 90 days, step by step, 1 week at a time, and how to get your financial your finances in order. So go to morninginvest.com/bootcamp. Natalie and I built this to help you, and it's totally free. So go check it out. We'll teach you how to, you know, read a balance sheet, understanding all of these things, start to understand performing assets versus liabilities. This is everything I wish I would have been taught in high school that I wasn't until I went $75,000 in debt after college. If I had this then, oh my gosh, I'd have my own island. And Jeffrey Epstein would not have been invited. All right, we've got more to get to here on the old show, and then we'll get you out of here. One more story I want to get to this morning. Well, first, by the way, you see these coronavirus numbers. Holy smokes. We'll get to this real quick. Look at these coronavirus numbers spiking again in the United States. We had a national emergency declared back on March 13th, of course. Now look at it. I mean, it's not even the same league on November 3rd. Look at these hotspots across the country. Total deaths right now, 231,000 people. 9 million confirmed cases. Look at Texas. Yeah, so we're seeing an outbreak right now. And it's not getting better because we have totally mismanaged our response to this. It has been all over the map. It's been a disaster. So what is next for President Trump? Well, as I've reported here on this show, that President Trump, or then candidate Trump, never wanted to become president of the United States. Anyone who knew him and was around him at the time, and anchors at Fox News, etc., all knew that he did not want to become president of the United States. It was great for television ratings. Governor Mike Huckabee used to complain all the time. He used to say to us when I was an anchor there, I cannot get a word in edgewise. I can't get the airtime as a candidate because Trump just sucks all of the air out of the room with what he says. He was so frustrated because the media loved it. The media would cover anything he would say. He knew how to control the day-to-day, right? he would have some comments first thing in the morning that he'd be tweeting about, and that would drive the conversation. And then later in the evening, during the nightly news broadcast, he'd be saying something else, and that would drive the nightly news. He controlled the airways. He loved the media side of it, but he never wanted to become president. He wanted to elevate his own brand because he was billions of dollars in debt. We now know this. Of course, from the tax returns, but also Michael Cohen and other insiders who worked with Trump, that he just wanted to elevate the Trump brand. That's it. That was his whole purpose of running and coming down that escalator and running for president. We know on election night, he thought he was going to lose handily by Hillary Clinton, and they had already gassed up the jet and were planning to fly to Scotland. He and the family were going to fly to Scotland. And they were going to spend time in Scotland after Hillary would win. Of course, on election night, Melania Trump cried her eyes out. It's like, oh my God, what has happened? Now we have to move to Washington? To move into the White House? I'm the First Lady? What? This isn't what I signed up for. So, in the months leading up to the election, the Trump campaign, President Trump and others in his orbit, were starting to lay the groundwork for Trump TV, a Trump media television network of some sort. You know, he loved Roger Ailes at Fox. He wanted his own thing. And quietly in the halls of Fox, while I was there, I had anchors coming up to me asking me, hey, have you been talking to them at all about potentially going to work for them as an anchor after the election? Because they didn't think they were going to win. They wanted to start their own television network. They had tapped into a message that they knew was powerful. It could be a competitor to Fox News. It would be a super competitor to CNN. And President Trump would get to do what he loves to do, which is to be on television, right? He would get to be his own Roger Ailes. So this was happening. Producers at Fox and others, and even other networks had heard about, were being wooed, and there was discussions happening. Would you be interested in coming to work for this particular network? They were keeping it quiet. And there was talk of a big Fox anchor going to work there. I won't name names, but I think you can probably figure out who it is. That he would go and anchor, be the main anchor, the main nighttime primetime guy on a Trump television network. Well, now we have reporting on this from Business Insider, confirming what I've been saying here, but talking about what's going to unfold after, if President Trump loses tonight, that there would be a Trump television network and that Jared Kushner has already been laying the groundwork for this. So here's the front page of Business Insider. Jared Kushner floating launch of a new Trump-branded media outlet, GOP sources say. It's another sign of a looming 2020 defeat. Now, remember, they had already were starting this in 2016. But there was such disdain for the way that the country had been going that he tapped into this nerve that propelled him to the presidency. Outraged workers who were tired of seeing their jobs shipped overseas, tired of these foreign wars. He stood on a stage and mocked Jeb Bush for supporting the Iraq war. And then now he says, you don't support it? What did it make up your mind, Jeb? Your brother got us into one of the worst wars in American history. The Iraq war in Afghanistan. And that struck a nerve. Hey, it struck a nerve with me. I can't stand wars. Yeah, get us out of these wars. Great. That struck a nerve for a lot of people. And it worked. And he won unexpectedly. Well, now the same thing is happening. And now it looks like he will actually lose, according to the latest polling on this election day. And all of these, you know, if you look at this battleground polling from today, Florida, 29 votes, 29 electoral votes leaning his direction, but Georgia blue, North Carolina blue, Maine blue, Pennsylvania blue. This is the final battleground polling from the UVA Center for Politics. And of course, the final poll, the USC Dorn's Life poll, which was the most popular poll in 2016, has right now Vice President Biden leading Trump nationally by double digits, 54-43% in the poll's daily tracking. So all accounts are that he's going to lose tonight. Of course, we'll see tomorrow, right? But so what's next for him? It's Trump Television. It's his own media company. Make no mistake that this show will continue. President Trump is not going to just quietly go into the distance. He now has an enormous platform. Look at his YouTube channel. The Trump YouTube channel already has 1.86 million subscribers. All of the infrastructure is already there. They've already been doing the Trump television show. Have you seen this one, of course, with Don Jr. interviewing his dad on the Trump TV?
We have a great opportunity to sit with the most powerful father in the world. So I have some interesting questions for you. Now, we've had some good fun.
This is all on Trump TV. Look, Team Trump online.
But we want to show a little bit of humor. So I have a couple questions that I think are on all of the minds.
By the way, I love this interview because couldn't they have gotten Don Jr. a microphone? Like, didn't they think about this? There's literally no microphone on him. So he sounds like there's like some boom mic across the room. I hope Trump TV actually has a microphone for their hosts. Hopefully they can afford that.
Of our viewers. So the first one, which is the big one also on my mind, is which is your favorite Trump child and why is it Ivanka?
Look for more of that. Can you wait for Trump TV? So mark my words, he will become like a Roger Ailes. He will run his own media outlet. He will pop in from time to time on different shows. There's no way that he's going to do his own like nightly show, but he will pop in as like the big daddy. He will get to drive the narrative. He will be on Twitter on a regular basis. He will not be going away anytime soon.
Ready? You have the cameras rolling?
Exactly. He loves it. He loves the spotlight. He always has. And so for him to own his own network, which is a money-making machine, for him to be able to be a needle in the side of Joe Biden for the next 4 years, just needling, tweeting, that's what we're in for the next 4 years. And there's already discussion, and we've already seen, you know, the idea that Don Jr. would run for president. Think about this legacy for Trump, building his own television network, his own version of Fox that he controls, or he can be needling Joe Biden for the next 4 years, elevating Don Jr., Ivanka, to run for president. I mean, Trumpism is here to stay. There is no Republican agenda anymore. Who's going to run the conservative agenda going forward for Republicans? Who's it going to be? Ted Cruz going to step up? What will become the Republican narrative for the next after Trump loses? Trumpism is here. They've cornered the market on this idea. So will we see Ivanka? Will we see Don Jr. running for president? They have their own television network. That they'll have their own. I guarantee you, Ivanka is going to have her own show. Don Jr. will have his own show. They'll be publishing books. They'll be driving people away from Fox News. He'll stop all of his love fest of the OAN network and now focus on Trump television. He loves putting his name on things. It doesn't take a genius to figure this stuff out. This is exactly what's going to happen. It's happening already right in front of our eyes. That Jared Kushner is laying the groundwork for this. This Trump-branded media outlet. Who disagrees with me? Be curious to see who would actually disagree with me on this. What do you think, Dave? Is this going to happen? I mean, I think it's already happening.
It probably is already happening. And the thing is, like, maybe Trump doesn't want anybody else to have a microphone. Maybe that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I just don't see. I mean, he can't carry a whole network himself.
No.
It'd be better for him to get in there and sort of needle things.
He thinks he can, though.
Oh, yeah. But he loves to just get in there and needle things, right? And he'll do like big special events, you know, they'll bring him on like, you know, former President Donald Trump is joining me now. I'm Ivanka. Dad, good to see you. You know, he's going to weigh in on things from time to time. He'll call in so you don't see his face. He'll call into different shows like Fox and Friends style. That's what's going to happen. Mark my words, you're going to see a Trump. And then we're going to get into huge censorship discussions, right? Because the moment that YouTube censors one of his videos, the moment that an Apple doesn't allow a Trump TV app to be on the Apple TV, right? You already see this coming.
It'll be the Alex Jones of Alex Jones 2.0.
Exactly. This is what we're facing. I don't know. But he is not going away. So this is what we're in for. We are in for, and look, by the way, if he loses, he can run again. He's younger than Biden. Imagine President Trump waits 4 years or 2 years and then decides to run again. I guess we'll all know in a few hours what's going to happen here. So thank you so much for watching our Election Day special. Subscribe to our channel. You know, YouTube tells me that 70% of you are not subscribed to the channel. How is that even possible? Just smash that subscribe button. We're here live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Exactly. Got to do that. Subscribe, smash that like button. Also, we do publish our daily newsletter Monday through Friday. Just go to morninginvest.com, subscribe. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. It's totally free. You can read the news in about 5 minutes. We cover a lot of different business stories, progressive business stories that I think you're not going to see in the mainstream media. You know, they're just going to focus on Wall Street and how the stocks are doing. But I care more about how you are doing and our economy that affects individual families and not Wall Street. So go to morninginvest.com and subscribe to the newsletter. So tonight, folks, what are your plans tonight, Dave? Are you going to do anything like, you know, be watching returns? What are you going to be doing? 8 p.m., by the way, is the time to focus.
Yeah, no, I am going to be probably on the couch watching Nashville, the TV series. My girlfriend Nashville. And I are watching Nashville right now. So, because Mandalorian only comes out once a week, so got to wait for that.
And then you're going to watch reruns of Knott's Landing?
Possibly. No, I've not got. We started watching Nashville, and we actually just binged Game of Thrones. Like, she had never seen it.
Oh,
so we binged smokes. That whole thing. Yeah.
That's a tough thing to binge. You need like, I think that was, you need like a week between each episode of Game of Thrones.
Sometimes. Yeah, we didn't do a week. We did, you know, we went a few days without, but yeah, we powered through.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit there and watch and get all stressed out over something I have no control over, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said, it's going to be Ivanka. It won't be Don Jr. because he loves Ivanka. Don Jr. Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? Like, he turns it into a reality show, like a who should run kind of a thing, you know?
I mean, isn't his life that anyway? Like, I feel like we're in one big reality show right now.
Exactly.
Like, Ashton Kutcher is going to come out after this 4 years and be like, punked, we got you, America.
Right. We got it. It was all a joke. So go out there and vote, everyone. Go to vote.org. If you haven't registered to vote, you can still do that in many states. So please go and register and then vote today. I'll be watching all night. We'll be keeping our eye here. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time, unless something crazy happens and we need to go live later today. I mean, God knows. We'll be watching. I'll be sitting right here next to the computer, next to the camera in case we need to go live with any late breaking news this afternoon. Man, I can't believe it. It's finally here. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. We will see you back here first thing tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Adios.